Welcome to Unity of Tucson.
Why fit in when you were born to stand out?
Yes.
That's the truth of all of us. We are each and every one of us born to stand out, to be the music makers of our lives. And so that is what I like to encourage us to do as we celebrate this month where the whole theme has been diversity and recognizing that diversity is the outflow of unity, that unity is necessarily expressing itself in myriad ways as all creation, and that we do not have to be or express like anyone else. I get excited by this stuff, and it makes me do things that I get, that get pointed out to me when I'm away, William. I have to tell you, I watched last week's service, and thank you so much, Reverend William, for guiding last week's service so beautifully. I watched last week's service from my hotel room in Kansas City in the afternoon, and I literally was by myself, and I busted out laughing so hard when you did that. Brilliant. Brilliant. So yes, I was away last week. I spent the week in Kansas City. We spent a full day at Unity Village, which is, you know, the center of the Unity movement. And I was there for the Unity Worldwide Ministries Convention. I would say annual convention, but they're not going to have a convention next year, so it is no longer an annual convention. One of the topics that got brought up, and I hear this a lot, it gets brought up all over the place in many Unity communities, is this phrase, and I'm going to shudder a little bit as I say this. Unity is the best kept secret in the world.
Not anymore.
But there are still paradigms. There are still many, many who are out there thinking this is the way it is. But here's the thing that I want to remind us all of. Our thoughts, our beliefs around those thoughts, and the feelings that wrap up those beliefs and thoughts, those are the ways that our life is unfolding. So if we continue to hold on to the premise and the notion in a feeling way that unity is the best kept secret in the world, unity will continue to be the best kept secret in the world. You know, perhaps unity is the best kept secret in the world because we are unwilling to walk out our own door and engage in community. Community, common unity. That's the root of the word community. Common unity. There is something that connects each and every one of us. That is what unity stands for. We stand for love, we stand for forgiveness, and we stand for remembering the core of our being. And we are tasked, I think, we are tasked with sharing our light, our message, and our presence in a world that is aching for authenticity and connection. Now, I also want to be very clear, because there is an ethical standard by which ministers live, and that is this idea: we do not proselytize. So how do we then step out into community and share the wisdom that I think comes through unity and through the New Thought teachings without seeming like we are proselytizing? Will, okay. All right, this is unexpected, but there's an answer. No, have at it.
Lead by example.
Reverend William Gill. That is exactly the answer I would give. We lead by example. We be the example of love and kindness and respect and understanding our divine identity so profoundly that people will look at us and go, "Wow, look at the life they are living. What is it about them? And then we are invited into the conversation to say, this is what works for me. But I will also be very clear to acknowledge that what I say at the beginning of every single service, every single week, is I am not here to tell you what to believe. I'm not here to tell you what to think. You get to be in a place of choice around whether you will apply the principle in your life or not. And I will not judge you if you decide on something else. That is entirely your responsibility. But I am saying that I think we should be out there unapologetically singing our own song. Yes. In every aspect of our lives. And here's what I think that song is, and here's what I think the mystics of the ages have taught that song to be. The song is a song of love only. That's it. You can get rid of the rest. I mean, I don't want us to get rid of the rest of the mission statement. I like the rest of the mission statement. I will tell you, I know that there are people who have a challenge with the forgive everything part of the mission statement. I get it. But that's the work, right? But if we truly understood ourselves not only as the expression of love only, but also the impression of love only, then all we can do is be love in the world, rooted in a courageous authenticity. And celebrating our sacred individuality. The only commandment that the teacher Jesus offered was this: love. That's it. He said, I am here to fulfill all that has come before me by offering this message: love. Love. Love is all there is. That's it. That's it. So, being at the Unity Convention this week, and I go every year, but not next year because there won't be one. There's been a discussion that has started to unfold this year. And I'm bringing this up because what you may not realize if you are, not in leadership or running a community, you come on a Sunday and you don't know that there are two Unity organizations. Did you know that? Some people say yes, some people say no. There are two Unity organizations. Why are we Tunity? Wait a second, I thought we were Unity, not Tunity. And the reason that I bring this up is because this has been a source of conflict for decades in the Unity movement. Can you believe that in the Unity movement, where we teach unity, there has been an expression of conflict? So earlier in the spring, some information started to come out from Unity World Headquarters, which is one organization. The other organization is Unity Worldwide Ministries. I'm not going to get too deep into why there are two organizations or what the organizations do. Just suffice it to say, there are two organizations currently. But Unity World Headquarters started sending out information earlier this year in the spring to say there have been talks among the leadership of each organization to say that we should actually embody and express one unity. One unity. And that what has been unfolding is a willingness that had not been there before for Unity World Headquarters to offer services and support to the field, which is, we're part of the field as an independent Unity community here, right? So there's a move on to say we are one unity, we are one unified whole, and we should be expressing that in the world. And so let us let go of this notion or paradigm of two separate organizations and come together in strength and resolve. Now, this has a trickle-down effect. Because what it is inviting us to do, and what we are asked to be, are more than caretakers. We are asked and called to innovate in this unfoldment. And that's what I kept hearing this week at the convention. It is our time to innovate and evolve. No great spiritual tradition has come into expression without a willingness to innovate and evolve past what has been before. That's what we are here to do. We are here to be the innovators and the evolutionary thinkers. And that evolutionary thought shows up in its full expression as magnificence. You are part of that magnificence. So the thing about innovation, we celebrate innovation when it's successful. Real easy to do that, right? We celebrate it when it's successful, and it looks like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden, innovation happened. Oh my gosh, wow! That's something to be celebrated, but we sometimes lose sight of what it took to get there. And all the perception of failure that preceded that all of a sudden moment of going, oh, it's an innovative thought and an idea that is now in its full expression. But there may have been a lot that got us to that point. So there are a lot of perceived failures. Some of us may be living in the perception of failure in our own lives. Just know that that failure is us falling forward into some new idea. And that if we understand failure for what it is, a releasing of an old paradigm and an adoption of something new to be fully adopted and expressed, then we will do nothing but succeed. And I believe, my personal belief is that success is all to be rooted in. Now, I believe... You get to decide what you believe. I believe that all of that success is to be rooted in the construct of love only. That is how we will heal the discord that we are experiencing in this world. Love only. And it is up to us not to try to impress it upon anyone else or make anyone else do or be something. It is up to us to be the examples of love only in this world. At its core, all innovation is the willingness to try, to fail, and to pivot when necessary. And for me, the pivot always goes in the direction of, if I'm going to pivot, I'm going to pivot in the direction of love only. That is how I will choose to sing my song, How About You? Yeah. There's an impulse in me that is seeking to ask this question, what does it truly mean to sing your own song? And to ask it in this context, what does it mean to sing your own song when you see around you people who may be struggling to meet their basic needs? I see that sometimes. There are people in this room, and I'm not pointing anyone out, but there are people in this room here today who are struggling to meet their basic needs. Spiritual enlightenment cannot be the result of a struggle for basic needs. This is where that loving impulse, that song within, is an invitation to transform itself into service. And those of us who may not be struggling to meet our basic needs, I think one of the magnificent things that we can do is to find within ourselves a compassionate heart that calls us to respond to that real world pain. Spirituality is not here, spiritual practice, spiritual philosophy, it is not here to ignore humanity. It is not here to skip the steps of humanity. It is here to say that we must be willing to walk in humanity, in compassion, and allow ourselves to serve in ways that we can serve when we are gifted with that opportunity to help rise and lift others around us. Common unity, community is what it's all about. There's a big move. I said it a few weeks ago, and I think that when we have our Southwest Region Conference next year, part of the discussion is that we're going to have this as a primary focus of that conference. I've talked about the kingdoms of consciousness and conscious awareness before, moving from victim to victor, basically moving from the life happens to me, through life happens by me, life happens through me, life happens as me. And I am very, very, very passionate about the idea that we are stepping into a fifth kingdom of consciousness and that life is happening as we. that it is not an individualistic construct any longer, that we must be willing to step into life is we, life is the community, life is the common unity, and we get to share in this. There's a minister in Kansas City. Well, there are a lot of ministers in Kansas City, frankly. Being the center of the unity movement, there are about 18,000 unity communities in the Kansas City area. But one of the ministers that is in the Kansas City area was honored this week with the Light of God Expressing Award. Reverend Randy Fiki was given this award. And when he was introduced and it was explained why he was deserving of this award, I just thought there's more that we can do as a community. Because he really looked at are the basic needs of not just our unity community, but the community all around us being met that is honoring the way that people can then develop and evolve and grow and thrive. So he decided to commit his community to address needs in practical ways, the needs that he saw all around him. And he said, when our basic needs are met, we are empowered to elevate. And when our basic needs are not met, we cannot spiritually evolve. He based this essentially, if you know the psychological structure, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, look it up if you don't know. Because I'm not gonna go into that whole discussion. But there's a hierarchy that has been proposed by Abraham Maslow. At the bottom are the basic needs to survive. And if you are not meeting those basic needs to survive, you cannot rise yourself on that hierarchy of needs. And basically, the top is spiritual enlightenment. So if you are not addressing what's down here, you cannot ever reach what is up there. And so I think that part of unity's call is to be spiritually grounded and practically responsive, because we are empowered right where we are to support the needs of those around us. And I think we can do a better job of it. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it looks like. You know, maybe there is a call. I mean, we do the Bears in the Chairs campaign every year. We do the socks box every year. We do a blanket brigade every year to help support aspects of our community. I think that's just scratching the surface of what is possible for us as a community to do in this world. And we are the ones. We are the ones who are empowered and asked to do this. Our song is not just a solo. We can harmonize with those whose voices are not being heard because of those survival struggles, and our harmony, the shared harmony, can lift us all up. You know, one of the personal struggles that I have in ministry is that, you know, sometimes I do want to paint a rosy picture. But I'm also very clear that that rosy picture is spiritual bypass. It is putting my head in the sand, and it is saying that I am not adversely affected by anything around me. We sell that as a bill of goods a lot. I am not adversely affected by anything around me. I am an individualized expression of the one, and so there is nothing in the world of circumstance that has any bearing on my well-being anymore. Well, that is so self-focused, we forget sometimes that if we are rising ourselves into a state of love only, that we can then contribute to that consciousness in the world. And that is what I believe the call of unity is, to contribute to the consciousness of love. So it's not just about painting a rosy picture. It's about saying, I know the truth of my being. I hold and uphold that idea as the truth of your being. And together we can rise above any adverse circumstance. Because here's the thing. I don't see necessarily adverse circumstances ending anytime soon. I'd like to think that that is part of the path. Yes, I do think that's part of the path. I believe the way we get there, again, I believe the way we get there is by acknowledging and living from the point of view of our divine identity. We are not here to sugarcoat the truth. One speaker said it this way this week. He said, tell it like it is, especially in the face of challenges. That's spiritual courage. And we are called to allow that inner courage that we can adopt. We can adopt that courage. We can allow that spiritual courage to help us develop resiliency in the expression and experience of this world. That's what Jesus did. That's what the Buddha did. That's what Muhammad did. That's what all the mystic teachers of the world have done. They have allowed themselves to step forth in courage to say, I am a resilient expression of love, and this is how I choose to be, irrespective of what anybody thinks about me. That's a big one. Oh my gosh. What other people think of you is none of your business. I get challenged with that sometimes because, oh, don't we all just want to be loved? We want everyone to like us. We just want everyone to like us. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry, it's just not. There are going to be people who will object to the way you are in the world. I have plenty, trust me, I've lived most of my life with a large number of people objecting to the way I live my life in the world. Right, William? Let us step forth with naming what is hard, what is challenging, what the circumstances may be that need to be resolved and addressed, and know that our song is not diminished by naming what is hard, but it actually gains depth, because those who are flexible are rarely bent out of shape. To sing your own song is not just about being heard, it is about fully expressing your divine identity. It is about recognizing that spirit, the infinite spirit, whether you call it God, the universal presence, the creative source, doesn't matter. That universal spirit sings through you, and recognize that we can remember and allow that to be the point from which our unique expression is unfolding, and that our unique expression matters to the healing of this entire planet. Peace and blessings. You are magnificent. If you are new to our community, every week, I offer a home practice, which is an invitation to take what has been offered today in the message and actively put it to use in your life. So the home practice this week is this. Each day, I invite you to each day notice where life invites you to sing your own song. Determine in each of those moments what feels sustainable and what feels like it needs adjustment. Make a conscious change and sing your song. And then each evening, write down what you discover about yourself. This act, this spiritual practice of journaling, is a very powerful practice that invites us on the journey of recognizing where we have been and how we are getting to where we would like to go, and knowing that it is absolutely possible. So that is the home practice this week. Sing your own song. Sing your own song.
Hi, this is Reverend Jonathan Zenz, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast of my Sunday message. Your financial support will ensure that we can continue to offer this as an option for inspiration. You can make your tax-deductible contribution in any amount on our website, unitytucson.com. Once again, thank you for listening. You are magnificent. Namaste.